from KTOO in Juneau. I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. In Juneau, the city collects over $6 million in taxes a year on the sale of groceries. Economists say that food taxes hurt the neediest people the most. Exempting food from sales tax is a crowd pleaser, but many past assemblies have failed to make it happen, in part because the options for recouping the lost revenue are politically fraught. Back in March, City Finance Director Jeff Rogers gave the Assembly his take on why exempting food from sales tax has repeatedly stalled out.
When we look back and think about why it would appear that so many assemblies have aspired to do what this Assembly aims to do and have never succeeded, I think choice overload is one of those problems. There's just a lot of ways to skin that cat.
For example, what is food? With past unproductive debates in mind, the Assembly agreed to go with only foods covered by SNAP, the federally funded program that helps low-income households buy food. Grocers' checkout systems are already set up to recognize these foods and exempt them from sales tax when someone buys them with SNAP benefits. SNAP covers most basic groceries, but Assemblymember Michelle Hale acknowledged the list isn't ideal.
Things like hot chicken from the grocery store, pet food, diapers, you know, are not exempted. I think they should be. I think there's a lot of those items that should be, and soda pop probably shouldn't be a SNAP item, but it is.
But she and the other assembly members agreed to set those gripes aside and go with the SNAP list for the sake of simplicity. Now, the assembly is wrestling with what to do with the loss of about $6 million a food exemption would lead to for the city. Most assembly members agree that they want to replace at least half of it with something. Deciding what that something is where it gets tough. In committee, the Assembly is considering repealing or tightening other existing sales tax breaks, each with its own fans. For example, Mayor Beth Weldon suggested eliminating an exemption on sales by nonprofits. But Assemblymember Barbara Wachla-Gadak-Blake didn't agree with that.
I think that the nonprofits that I'm considering, at least just at the top of my head, provide a service for our community. Social services, they provide education services for our youth. They're helping our community and providing a service that we might otherwise have to provide ourselves if they weren't stepping up and helping our community.
The Assembly has not made any decisions on changing existing exemptions. That leaves new taxes. Assembly members have floated the possibility of raising the sales tax rate, maybe just in the summer, or raising property taxes. In 2019, Rogers ran some numbers to try to predict how a sales tax exemption on food plus a seasonal sales tax rate of 6% would affect local households, summer visitors, and the city's bottom line. He estimated that, on average, local households would save money, a summer visitor would pay about a dollar extra, and the city would lose about $500,000 in revenue. In 2014, the Greater Juneau Chamber of Commerce supported exempting food and utilities and to pay for it with an increase in the overall sales tax rate. It opposed a seasonal sales tax increase, saying it unfairly targets the visitor industry. The chamber's position has changed since then. Last week, it encouraged the Assembly to pay for the food exemption without new taxes, in line with the results of a member survey in March. Chamber Executive Director Craig Dahl says the city's finances are in a much better position now, with a lot more cash on hand.
When the chamber made its recommendation several years ago, it was kind of a three-legged stool. There were several pieces to the recommendation, and the Assembly only chose one of them. And so those conditions don't exist now the same way they did in 2014.
Deputy Mayor Maria Gladyszewski chaired the Assembly's most recent committee meeting on the food exemption and wrapped up the discussion like this.
Good job. I mean, it's not easy. That's why nobody did it before.
The city's charter requires voters approve changes to the sales tax rate. To get a sales tax question on the October ballot, the Assembly must pass an ordinance by August 4th. The Juneau Assembly plans to continue discussion of the food tax exemption in its Committee of the Whole meeting at 6 p.m. Monday. COVID cases are rising across the country as out-of-state travelers make their way to Alaska on cruise ships. State epidemiologist Dr. Luisa Castrodale spoke at a public health presentation yesterday.
There's settings where there's a lot of people coming from a lot of different places, and there's some really good measures that you should be taking regardless of COVID or, for any time you're going on a cruise ship.
Those measures recommended by the CDC include frequent hand washing and staying up to date on flu shots, measles vaccines, and other immunizations. Nationally, case counts rose by 22% this week. Alaska saw a 4% decrease this week, with 1,400 cases reported over the last 7 days. Some of the highest case counts include Southeast communities, frequently visited by cruise ships, including Skagway, Sitka, and Petersburg, State epidemiologist Dr. Eric Mooring said Alaskans living in remote communities should pay attention to hospital capacity in their regions. He said travel within the region can contribute to community spread.
When we see higher levels of COVID in one part of Southeast Alaska, we sometimes also see them in other areas around the same time as well. That's not guaranteed by any measure, and we have seen different patterns in different communities. But also, despite the lack of roads, people are clearly moving around.
State health officials are also watching for a sub-variant of the BA2 Omicron variant. State epidemiologist Dr. Joe McLaughlin said so far that sub-variant has not yet reached Alaska. Some officials in Juneau have raised concerns about militarization of the police force after learning the police department's plans to buy an armored security vehicle that can seat 12 officers. Juneau Empire reports some have referred to the vehicle as a tank and worry it could harm a transparent relationship between police and the community. Police counter the vehicle as a way to help protect officers, especially when dealing with people firing weapons. The Lenco armored vehicle Bearcat G3 will cost more than $300,000 when custom-built to Juneau Police Department specifications. Police did not require advance assembly approval to purchase the vehicle with a grant. Bartlett Regional Hospital has named a permanent chief behavioral health officer after months of top-level turnover. Tracy Dompling will take over in the lead role from interim officer Karen Forrest on June 20th. Forrest has been filling in for the position since September when Bradley Grigg resigned. Dompling is currently the state's director of Division of Juvenile Justice. She has degrees in social work and justice administration from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Interim CEO Jarrell Humphrey made the hire. Initially, the hospital board intended for the permanent CEO to fill the position, but the board has not yet chosen Humphrey's successor, and Forrest will not extend her six-month interim commitment. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy is reiterating his push for payments of at least $3,700 to residents this year, with the legislative session in its last weeks and the size of the annual dividend check paid to residents still unresolved. The House, in its version of the budget, approved a one-time energy relief payment of $1,300 plus a dividend check of about $1,250. Senate Finance Committee is weighing a dividend of about $2,500 as it works on a draft budget plan. A state court judge has set a May 3rd deadline for challenges to a revised redistricting plan. Superior Court Judge Thomas Matthews says the accelerated timeline takes into account a June 1st candidate filing deadline for the August primary. He says that given the approaching filing deadline, it would be impossible for the courts to hear and decide challenges to the plan if they were filed as late as 30 days after the revised plan was issued. A revised plan was adopted April 13th. The Alaska Redistricting Board went back to work after the state Supreme Court raised constitutional issues with a Senate district, pairing part of East Anchorage and the Eagle River area. A heli-skiing guy died in an avalanche in Thompson Pass near Valdez on Monday. In a written statement posted online today, Alaska State Troopers report that 46-year-old Michael Hamilton was leading a group of skiers and scouting a run when he triggered an avalanche that swept him about 1,500 feet down the mountain and over a cliff. Hamilton was well-equipped with avalanche safety gear, including an airbag system that he was able to deploy. A trooper said rescuers in the ski group's helicopter found him unconscious. Troopers said Hamilton was declared dead in Valdez. Troopers noted dangerous avalanche conditions in the region as spring has brought warmer weather to the mountains and caused slopes to become more unstable. Troopers said a separate avalanche in Thompson Pass on Tuesday injured two other backcountry users. Hamilton's friends on Facebook described him as an experienced skier and guide with a magnetic personality. According to a GoFundMe page set up for Hamilton's memorial costs, he survived by his wife. And the National Weather Service forecast calls for mostly clear skies tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Roar forecast from the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks is a 5. High, highly active auroral displays will be visible overhead from Ujjavik to Bethel, Dillingham, and Ketchikan. KP index will peak between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, April 28th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.